It's gonna be crazy. I mean, it's the first time I think that Joshua's got into a ring where someone is actually of a better caliber than him. I know it sounds really silly, but after 15 fights, he's got 15 knockouts, so you can't really complain about him going for a world title. But I mean, Martin is the most unknown out of the heavyweight boxers. But I mean, with 23 wins and no losses, like, he's definitely a massive step up for Joshua, obviously, to world level. It's kind of a risky for him, I think. Like, he's bypassed the European kind of belt stage, but I think that he had to take it. I mean, there was nowhere else for him really to go. I don't think that Fury was an option at the moment, so he kind of had to go some route, and the IBF was obviously the easiest one, and Hearns obviously won the purse bids as well, so he's over here on the April the 9th, which is super exciting for British boxing fans again at the O2.
Oh, it's brilliant. And you know what? It's just become his home, that really, hasn't it? Anthony Joshua, he's taken...
I mean, he's won his last five fights there. So, I mean, it's become a bit of a fortress for him. So, hopefully he can bring the crowd in. And I know most people will be behind him on the night.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely cracking atmosphere down there. But, as you said, maybe this is a bit of a step too far too soon, maybe, for AJ. He could have jumped in with 2 feet here. And this is an opponent who... we looked at Dillian White and thought, well, you know, he could have the making of him here, but this guy could take him down.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the undercard of, he won the IBF world title, won the undercard of the Deontay Wilder bill in January, and he looked dangerous, and the first thing me and my dad actually said was, oh God, look, that could potentially be a Joshua opponent, and so he was already looking at him then. And it's just, yeah, but it's very dangerous. I don't believe that he should get stick for it, because I think we're very harsh on our fighters. I mean, it is a lot very quickly being a world title fight, but you've got to give him credit. I mean, good luck to him. If someone hands you a world title opportunity, you're not exactly going to say no. And at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of people know who he is. There's a lot of pressure on Anthony Joshua, so well done for him for taking it. But all he's really said on his Twitter about it is he takes every challenger seriously. And obviously, it's a dream of his since he turned to the professional rank. So you can't really blame him. And obviously, Eddie Hearn's going to put a massive undercard on and obviously guaranteed to fill the O2 Arena. So it's an exciting night for British boxing. But I do think this opponent is going to be a massive... world level, as we know, is a completely different step up to what goes on at domestic level. So, and obviously, with White and what White done to him in the fifth or sixth round is... It was kind of a reality check for him. And for me, a lot of people are going to use that round against him and say, oh, how's he going to get in against Martin when someone like Dillian White on a domestic level troubles him? So I think he'll have a lot of pressure, a lot of hate and a lot of press going against him going into the fight, I think. But ultimately, I think the casual boxing, British boxing fan will all be behind him.
Yeah, a lot of my friends have already been messaging me saying, let's get a night together for this. It's going to be a cracking night.
Yeah. And the first thing we said as well is, like, get all the boxes up, get all your friends up, get some beers going. And the heavyweights always create that, as I said before, atmosphere, that excitement, because you know it's not going to, it very rarely goes 12. So you know you're going to be in for a night of excitement. And especially Eddie's quite good at packing an undercard, so... Hopefully it'll be a great night all round of boxing.
Yeah, he does put on a good undercard, does Eddie? He really does. He got some good fights on that. Now, Tyson Fury's been talking about Martin, obviously saying he's one of the three he wants to fight in 2016. So obviously he's highly thought of with the world champion there. And it does look like this is going to be an absolutely cracking fight. Tyson Fury, what is his next step? What is Fury's next step? What's going on there?
Oh, I don't... He obviously created massive, like, I think it got like 1,000 retweets in 10 minutes or something, that when he put on Twitter that he's got massive news coming soon. I don't know. I'm not sure if the huge news would be Klitschko enacting the rematch clause. I really don't think that would be shocking news to the public, because we all kind of, Klitschko come out and said, right, I've got that in the clause. I might bring it up again. I might not. So we know that option's there.
Well, he says, you will not believe who. That is the last few words of his tweet.
Exactly what I've got written. Well, exactly what I had written down. I was like, "You not believe?" I mean, we all know it could be Klitschko, so that's not for me who it is. The only thing I can gather from what he said is that it's going to be David Hay. But would he go back? Would he go back on what he said about him being a fraud?
Yeah.
And that he'd never fight him. I mean, if at the end of the day we all know money talks, and we know that fight Hay Fury would sell out Wembley in a heartbeat. So maybe he's gone back on his word. Maybe he's had a little bit of a mention from the McGuigan camp and Hay, and maybe he's had a U-turn. Maybe they've had a meeting and we don't know. But obviously Deontay Wilder. The only two options are David Haye or Deontay Wilder. There's nowhere else for him to go.
Well, he did say to me when I spoke to him that, you know, he was talking about David Haye and was saying that he was disappointed that the fight didn't come off, and he felt that he'd wasted his time a little bit. He wasted a bit of his career, and maybe if he does get the chance to get that fight, he is going to kind of have that redemption of that part of his career that he feels he's lost.
Obviously, he's got a point to prove, and I do think at the moment with Haye's comeback making such big noise, I think he might have a bit of a point to prove, Fury. A bit of like, this is my turf and not yours. I mean, Haye's come back and just been put on a complete pedestal, rightly so, sold out the O2 Arena and put on a good performance, don't get me wrong. But Fury's kind of holds four world belts, and at the moment, Haye's getting spoken about a bit more, which I find a little bit bizarre. So maybe Fury has gone, do you know what, I'm gonna rewrite all my wrongs and get a bit of revenge on David Haye. And of course, if money's right, and the fans are there and the arenas are there, it's just getting them two in the same ring, which... When he said, you'll not believe who, I mean, Deontay Wilder, he got in the ring and had that old camaraderie with. I mean, that was, the fans know that could be there. And also Klitschko, the contract, is the enactment of the clause is there. So they're two opponents that we will believe because we know they're there. The only person I can think of would be Joshua, but obviously not now because he's tied up in the IBS. It could be that he fights the winner. You don't know.
Yeah.
That could be in the contract. That could be in Eddie Hearn's contract, that the winner of that fights Fury for the IBS again, so he can unify the division. But again, we're all left with our mouths salivating as to who it might be.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's a nice little sort of tease of a fight coming out there from Tyson Fury, and hopefully we're going to actually find out who this opponent's going to be. Or is he going to wait for some other time when he can go and announce this? Is he going to drop it at an opportune moment? You just really never know.
That's,
you know
what it seems. It seems like that in boxing at the moment, doesn't it? That people are just dropping fights like out of the blue. Like the Carl Canelo just come up when I was at work and on Twitter. It just come out of nowhere, and it seems that these fights are just obviously happening behind closed doors at the moment, and they're just dropping out of thin air. So maybe we'll get a little message from Fury. Because since that, he's not really put anything on Twitter or not been very active on it. So maybe his team are in like deep talks with whatever's going on. But I hope it gets announced soon. So we've got, again, something else to look forward to.
Well, it's interesting he's left that on there, because when he spoke to us in the past, he spoke to me once, and we were talking about the rearranged date of his World Heavyweight title fight, of course, against Klitschko, and it got dropped all online. People were talking about it on Twitter. So I rang him up, and I was like, Tyson, I'm really excited to hear this news. You know, it's brilliant, Liz. Do you want to talk about it? He's like, yes, but I've just been told off for tweeting about it because I've told everybody too soon. So he's got form. Let's say that. He's got form. Let's head to Leeds, though, as we talk about the Leeds Warriors. Josh Warrington, of course, he's going to be defending his WBC International Featherweight title against Hisashi Amagesa, and also Stuart Hall on the card as well in a IBF World Bantamweight title eliminator, which is fantastic, against Rodrigo Guerrero. 16th of April, live on Sky Sports, the FDA. Great to see Warrington back in town as well. And he's got a good opponent here, hasn't he?
I was going to say, I had a little look up on him, and apparently he floored Rigondo twice in December of 2014. Now,
you know
that whoever does that has got to have a bit of a punch on him, because Rigondo is a great opponent. I mean, he's had 30 fights. And he's 20 KOs from them 30 fights. And he holds over 12 years' experience. So, obviously, he's by far the most experienced and the hardest opponent that Josh has had to come up against. But he's obviously not backed down from it. I mean, he could have said, I don't know, if it's not a mandatory, is it? So, he's taken this opponent. And we all know that it's a big call-out for the Selby fight in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that's... I just want it to happen.
I think everybody does. We're just waiting for something. We're waiting for some kind of confirmation. But obviously, we're still just kind of like being left on tenterhooks for this. And like, everybody wants that fight to happen. And whether it'll happen at Ellen Road or not, I don't know.
Oh, God, that'd be amazing. But this fight here is like, everyone's like, yeah, it's a good opponent. I mean, he's got loads of experience. And he's obviously the most dangerous opponent. But it's not Lee Selby.
Yeah.
And I think he's always going to come back to that being... Okay. You're fighting a 30 fighter and who's got 12 years experience, but it's not Lee Selby. Poor boy. I mean, he's got in there and he's fighting a really experienced man. But again, I really hope he overcomes it. It was a great test for him. And the atmosphere that you Yorkshire men produce is amazing in your arenas. So it's going to be a great night for him and Hall. Obviously, Hall is fighting on the same bill, and it's his I think it's probably his last chance to get his hands back on that IBF belt. So good luck to him. It's another great show put on by Matchroom, and I think there'll be a lot of eyes on both of them that night, especially hopefully from the Selby camp. I really hope.
Yeah, hopefully. And then if Warrington can come through this, that'd be wonderful, because then we're going to definitely get that announcement.
Then we get the summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. And as it says on our website right now, radioyorkshire.co.uk, it's Warrington facing a career-defining fight in April. And not long after, of course, the fight down at the O2. So a great couple of weeks in April for boxing.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, again, it sounds really silly, but British boxing at the moment is just absolutely killing it. I mean, here and overseas, we're just gaining audiences further and further afield. I mean, if you say any of our boxers' names at the moment, most people know who they are. Even the casual fans are asking me, oh, what do you think of this fight? And what do you think of this fight? And it's like, I don't think you like boxing. And they're like, no, but we've heard of their names. And that just shows you how well British boxing's doing at the moment. We've got so many dates penciled in, and the press conferences and the media trains around us are going crazy. And it's such a big thing for boxing at the moment.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Just see that sport on the up again in England. It's just great to see we can pack venues out. We can get big names over here. They'll come over here for the fights. You know, people are going to fly in to watch this. It's just great to see the sport lighting up again.
Exactly. But obviously the heavyweights have always been a spectacle because of the size of them and the unpredictability of the fight. But it's great to see the likes of Frampton and Quigg, like that sort of weight, and the feather, like Josh Warrington, gaining audiences. It's not just... At the moment, it's not just the heavyweights that are getting audiences. It's absolutely every weight in British boxing. We're just smashing it across the field at the moment. So it just shows you we're on the up. We're on the up, and British boxing fans have got great nights to look forward to.